الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد الله سبحانه وتعالى has made this world دار العمل the house of work دار الكسب the house of earning Everybody is expected to work and expected to earn. That's how this world functions. No one gets a free lunch and no one gets a day off, basically. So we all have tasks, we all have responsibilities, we all have jobs to do. We all have projects that we manage and we complete. Some of us have some good jobs, relatively easy. Some of us have not so good jobs and relatively hard. But everybody has to engage. Everybody has to work. Everybody has to do something in this world to sustain their existence, whether they're Muslim or non-Muslim. Non-Muslims also work, they also earn. Muslims work and they also earn. Some tasks are much more difficult than others. And that's how the Nizam, the system of Allah is. Some have responsibilities over other human beings, which makes their job a bit more difficult than others, and some have even more responsibilities, maybe at the governmental level or in other areas of power and authority. The most difficult job is the job of being a Nabi. The job of bringing out people from darkness, from ignorance, into light, into nur, into Islam. That is the most difficult job that any human being has been asked to do. No job, I don't care what it is more difficult than playing the role of a Nabi, a prophet. Because invariably, as soon as you become a Nabi, the first thing that comes to the mind of a Nabi is not the honor, is not the glory. It is the huge responsibility. Allah, Allah, what am I getting myself into? What is this responsibility that you put on me, this burden you put on me? That I'm supposed to now tell people how to live, how to act, so that they can protect themselves from the fire of hell. They're instantaneously met with rejection. Every Nabi that has come has been met with rejection, instantaneous rejection. You look at Ibrahim, he's met with rejection from his father, from his people. Look at Musa, even before he gets to Firaun, he's concerned. Ya Allah, you're sending me back to the Pharaoh, to the Firaun, this tyrant, this dictator. And I was there, I was raised by him. I lived in his palace. And now I run away from him, and now you want me to go back and tell him that, you know, shape up. It's a huge responsibility. The most difficult task, remember this, that we may be going around here in the USA thinking that we have difficult jobs. You do. There's no doubt in that. And you should take on the responsibility with grace with honesty, with integrity, and inshallah, Allah will reward you, Allah will give you plenty. But don't compare yourself to any Nabi. Because the Nabi, he knows what he is going to face as soon as Allah says, you are now assigned. What is he facing? Rejection. Rejection. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came back from Hira, after receiving the first wahi, he went to see, obviously, Khadija, and then Khadija's cousin, who was well-learned, well-versed with the traditions of other religions, Waraqah. Waraqah told him, I wish I was there to help you when your people drive you out from your hometown. The first thing he told him, so it wasn't a parade, it wasn't a lap of honor, it wasn't that he's going to get a plaque of Nabuwa, it was the reality that the job you are being assigned to will be met first with rejection, denial, derision, ridicule, and eventually being driven out from your hometown. That doesn't sound like a rose garden to me. But how do they manage? They manage because they trust Allah as a role model for all human beings, no matter how difficult your task may be, you trust Allah. And you go about it the best way possible. You don't whinge and whine and complain. You make dua and then you trust Allah. So Musa alayhi salam is dawning upon him this huge responsibility of going to one of the greatest powers on the planet. And that is Fir'aun. And indeed, he was a great power. They had a great civilization. They had culture, they had sophistication. They were great engineers, as you know, they built the pyramids and more than that. Now Allah is saying, go back there where you ran away from and tell him that you have to, you know, be a good person. You're a tyrant. He's afraid. Naturally, he's afraid. We mustn't assume that the prophets don't feel human emotions. They are more human than we are. They feel the emotion of fear. They feel apprehension. Why? Because that's how Allah made them. So he's still standing there on Tur, Musa alayhi salam. He's saying, Ya Allah, Qala Rabbi shrahli sadri. Open up my chest. Because there's a constriction I'm feeling. I'm actually suffocating with this idea of doing what you're asking me to do. I'm not sure I'm capable of doing that, which is how you're supposed to behave. Because wahi, first of all, makes you humble. Wahi doesn't make you arrogant. If you have wahi, you won't say, yeah, bring it on. I'm capable of doing this. He says, no, I'm nowhere near capable. So open up my chest so I can acquiesce to the order, to the command, so I can now be a servant of yours. وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي. And then he goes on. Make my affair easy for me, because it's a difficult task. In fact, it's an impossible task in terms of human standards. So now he's pleading there with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make my affair easy for me. We all go through these difficulties. The question is, how do we navigate difficulties? We all go through problems. The question is, how do we solve problems? We all go through ins and outs and ups and downs. Sometimes a good day, sometimes not a good day. But how do we negotiate and how do we navigate all of those different trials? The Nabi's trial is the greatest. So he's not backing away. He's just saying, I'm not sure I can do what you asked me to do. So I need your assistance. So likewise, if you find any Nabi, you'll see that his seerah is going to be depicted with trials and tribulation, persecution, assassination, abuse, verbal and physical, rejection, denial. It happened to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also. Then the first, when he went to Mount Safa and he called his kinsmen, he called his own family to give them the dawah. And they all respected his calling because he is al-Amin. 40 years old, everybody knows him in the community. He is the best man on the planet. But once he said, I've come to deliver a message from Allah to you, that you must accept Islam and you must give up worshipping your idols. That was it. Persecution started. He didn't have a welcome committee to parade him around the Kaaba and say, this is our Nabi. So what I'm saying is that we all have work. We all have tasks. This dunya is about work. It's darul amal. You cannot escape work. No one can. If you do try to, you're lazy and you're a failure and you are a loser and nobody wants to talk to you. So we're not talking about them. We're talking about sensible human beings that every day of their lives, they wake up and they have to do something. They have to work. Now, the prophets came to show us how to work and how not to work. So this is where the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and indeed the seerah of every Nabi, comes in handy. Some people might say, why is Islam relevant? Why is the seerah relevant? Why do we need to know all these stories? They are fables, basically, then. Bedtime stories, at best. It's because you build character. When you see how great their amal is, how magnificent their work is, how beautiful they negotiated and navigated life against all odds. Against all odds. Meaning they did not give up. They asked Allah to help them. They trusted Allah, which is the application of Islam on a daily basis. You want to talk about the great philosophy of Islam? That's one thing. You're welcome to do that. But at a micro level, every individual Muslim must look to the amal, the behavior, the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to see how he managed. How do you manage all the crises he went through? SubhanAllah, is mind-boggling. How do you get out of that, atmosphere of rejection all the time? You're rejected for 13 years. Every day of your life, you go out, you give dawah, and you're rejected. You're scorned at. The inner intestines of camel is thrown on you. Does he give up? No. Does he whine and complain? No. Why? Because that's the amal he has to do. If I'm going to do something, I have a plan, I have a project, I want to make sure I take the project to its term. And whatever needs to be done is done. That is the resolve of a Nabi. So they're just not simple human beings. They're very special human beings that Allah has assigned them to be our role models in daily life, every day. The Prophet ﷺ is a role model, not just in Salat. That's a no-brainer, because we don't know how to worship Allah. But in life, how do you tackle life? Everybody here has a problem. Nobody here can say they don't have a problem. Okay, then what do you do about that problem? How do you navigate? How do you negotiate? You follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in the sense that you do not give up, and you make dua, and you humble yourself in front of Allah and say, Ya Allah, I'm not capable of doing this. Make it easy for me. As the dua of the Prophet ﷺ is, Allahumma al-tuf bi fi taysir kulli asir, fa inna taysir kulli asir. Allah, have grace and mercy upon me by making the difficult things easy for me. Because you can make difficult things easy. And he made it easy for the Prophet ﷺ eventually after 20 years of hard work and hard labor. And you say he worked his socks off when they were digging the ditch in the Khandaq. He was there right in the middle of the Khandaq. He didn't shy away from the work or the labor. He got his hands and feet dirty to show that this is Darul Amal. This is the place of work. You cannot escape work. But the way you work, that will be judged. And the only way you can work is if you follow the role model of all the prophets, especially the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where you trust Allah and you make dua. That's our role model. And this applies to everything you do. Even the Prophet ﷺ said that if the straps of your sandals break, then ask Allah first to help you. You see how microscopic his observation is, his vision is, his understanding. See how he sees Allah in everything he does? Why is it a big deal? Okay, the straps are broken. I'll get another pair of sandals. No! You ask Allah first, then you get your sandal to show that you trust Allah more than you trust anything else. And that is the true meaning of Islam, submission to the will of Allah. May Allah help us all. Ameen ya rabbal alamin.